hour two of the Lori and Julia show. First hour went all right. Let's do it again. And of course, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, brought to you by Southern Lights and Dr. Lisa of Wyzetta Cosmetic Surgery and Spa. Ran out of breath there. We put together a list of resources to raise awareness. We got events. We got stuff to do so we can spread the word. Everybody, check yourself. Let's stop breast cancer as best we can this month. Use my talk keyword awareness.
Thanks, Rocco. Okay, so Julia.
Yes, dear.
The truly, and this is, I didn't see this coming, okay? But
I'm so worried right now, Rocco, about whatever she's going to tell me.
I know.
Don't be worried about it. It's this week's cover story.
Of what magazine?
People magazine.
Okay, RBG was last week.
That's right. Picked my copy up at the newsstand. I was like, I've got to see this because I let my subscription lapse.
Oh, Lorraine. I know. Just when they need you.
I know. Well, then I got a couple more. I joined a couple newspaper, you know.
Yeah, all right.
Did that. Okay. But Robert Lacey's Battle of the Brothers, William and Harry, that book is turning out to be far more explosive than anything that was in that damn Finding Freedom,
right,
by Omid Scobie and the other person, because Robert Lacey is neither pro Cambridge or pro Sussex.
He's not pro brother.
He's not pro either one. This is the first big deep dive into this, and it's the cover of People magazine, Battle of the Brothers. There's so much pain and trauma on that goes back to the day that Diana died.
Well, that's right in itself is so sad.
Isn't it?
Yes.
That
bothers me.
I was not expecting there to be this many interesting and kind of unbelievable stories. So I'll just, if anything, he is not held back on the mistakes of anybody, whether it's Charles Williams. But he said both of the brothers, and he's also, I should say this, Robert Lacey is the historical consultant for the Crown.
Okay.
And he has written about the monarchy in different aspects before. But he said, you know, the brothers were raised to be close and protective of each other, but they've both been damaged by their upbringings and they've reacted by finding different solutions. There's so much pain and trauma in this story going right back to the beginning, because remember William, and we know this from the Crown because we saw with Elizabeth and Margaret, the one who's going to be the monarch is treated very differently.
Very differently. And, you just are.
And the spare is given no thought at all.
None.
And it couldn't be more clear.
Uh-huh.
Very, very clear. And so he says because of that, and like, I mean, one of the stories that I was really kind of, I was like, whoa, Prince William was the driving force behind Harry's delinquency in his teen years when he was always getting in trouble, smoking the pot, the Nazi costume.
That wasn't a teenage thing. That was a 20s thing, the Nazi costume.
Oh, no. Julie, he was like early 20s, but William was behind it. So listen to this story.
Was he the instigator? Because,
well, William is 2 years older. Mm-hmm. You're always going to be able to get your brother, you know, brother to do something for you. And apparently, William, when his mom gave the Martin Bashir interview, the one where she said there were three of us in this marriage.
Yeah.
All hell broke loose. He was furious that she'd spoken badly of his father, that she'd mentioned Chris Hewitt. He started shouting and crying. And when she tried to put her arms around him, he shoved her away. The next day, he apologized to her for
his like 12?
Bad temper. Oh, no.
Eight?
No, he would have been maybe 14 or 12 or something, whatever he was. He's upset. But anyway, but she felt that irretrievable damage had been done to her son for that interview. And apparently after, I don't know if it was after she died, Prince Charles at his Highgrove estate, he had a bomb-proof shelter that was built there. And he allowed the sons, the boys, to turn it into a disco rumpus room, if you will. And that's where they partied and started drinking. They were very unsupervised in there, and they were like experimenting early with everything. And William encouraging that. And it was just a very well-stocked bar. And I mean, these guys were young, and he was in a wild crowd by the time 14, 2 years after his mom died, and his brother was 16. Mm-hmm. And William, and they were just partying and whooping it up.
Right.
No mom.
Or dad.
Or not really, right. Not really. And so they loved to swill it down, and they had a circle of friends that kept the thing. And apparently Prince William dumped Kate by text in 2007 because she refused to go to Christmas with him in December of 2006 unless she was engaged. The queen invited her, and he was so mad that she turned down the queen, that he broke up with her in a text. And I mean, he's like got a very bad temper, Prince William. And he.
Is there anything bad in there about Harry?
There is stuff that they've been growing apart for years, and that Harry was. Blamed William for being the spare, which is not fair.
No, that's not fair.
He can't help that.
Right?
But it's becoming like very clear that all this stuff between these two go way back. And if
I feel bad about that, because the mom would roll in her grave. I mean,
she would not like that. But he claims that, you know, the first rift with William between William and Diana was when she gave that Martin Bashir interview. And you can only imagine what it'd be like to have Charles as your dad, because he was raised by Queen Elizabeth, not
cold.
Cold. Anyway, cold. This book, there's a lot of stuff.
Would you read it?
Prince William asked his uncle, Diana's brother, the Earl Spencer, mm-hmm. to intervene with Harry and Meghan.
Right. I heard that.
And also, you know, the other thing is that Buckingham Palace didn't know what to do with someone moving into the inner circle who was a self-made millionaire.
Oh.
Meghan Markle.
Okay.
Is the only self-made millionaire in the royal family.
Oh, got it. All right.
And they were like, what are we going to do? Her net worth is worth $8 million, and she earned it all herself. It wasn't inherited.
Oh, dear.
No, but that was right. One of...
That's interesting, but yeah.
Because everybody else... It's just how they were born.
Interesting.
Right. Anyway, kind of, if you're a royal person, I think that we might want to read, if you are interested in the royal family stuff, The Battle of Brothers, Robert Lacey.
Sounds good.
It does. All right, listen, we'll be right back. It's time for Random Thoughts.
You know, I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's Random Thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
Okay, so a couple different things have happened to me in the last 24 hours, Lorraine.
Really? Tell me everything. Tell me every dirty detail.
I'm just going to give you the clean version. All right, so I tried this. Brittany told me about this tennis trainer. It's a ball on a rope, elastic rope. That's
It's a tennis yo-yo.
It's a tennis yo-yo thing, but you hit it, so it's got a stand, a little flat stand with water in it to hold it in place, and you go outside, you just try to hit a tennis ball, and it keeps coming back to you.
Yeah, like a yo-yo.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Did it work?
It did after
you got... Without getting tangled up?
Well, it gets a little tangled, but I can see where it would work. It comes back at you very fast.
Oh, it does. Did you get hit at all by
your new
tennis?
I was so embarrassed. I was out there...
Getting
playing on it, and I kept turning in different directions when I'd see people coming by with their dogs, so they couldn't see my face as I'm trying to do this. It's hysterical, but it's called...
Did anybody take a video of you?
No, I wanted to take a video, but I don't have... It would have been the most embarrassing, but it's called the Turna Tilt and Drill Tennis Trainer. It's like $20. I think you can get it at Dick's. Kind of fun, kind of worth it. So Brittany lend me hers.
Okay.
Kind of could. It's serious workout, though, because the ball comes back at you so bloody fast. And then last night, I'm trying to do this whole 30. Hate it.
What's Whole 30?
It's a no dairy, no alcohol, okay, no grains, no legumes.
You know that these things don't work. They just work temporarily.
But but I've got friends who really like this, and I just was trying to do it to just whatever.
I thought you were not ever going to do anything like this ever again.
But it's healthy. It's all you can eat, all fruit and vegetables.
And you want
ghee.
A grape?
And ghee. So anyway, last night I'm trying to cut a squash to bake it in the oven. And I thought about you.
Oh my gosh.
Making the squash soup for our gourmet club way back in the day.
I've never made it again.
You want to know why?
Because it's hard as hell.
It is the hardest thing in the world to stab a squash and split it in half. Like I had a spaghetti squash. It was so hard.
I think you have to microwave it or something.
I'm surprised I didn't stab myself.
I basically went to the top floor of my house and dropped the squash on my deck to smash it in a million pieces. And then I gathered it up and washed it.
Delicious.
If anyone has a way to cut a squash in it, I mean, it's like cutting a pumpkin. It's so hard.
There's a trick and I can't remember what.
651-641-1071 if you know the trick, because I would like to know it. Because I sat there and then my cutting board's kind of sliding.
Why don't you just get a sweet potato and do that?
Because there's a recipe for buffalo chicken that you start with the spaghetti squash.
Oh, I see.
So, and I'm upping my vegetable game. That is the only good thing that's happening. I'm upping my vegetable game, but I almost stabbed myself. I thought, this is scary.
No, you know why I threw that squash out of a window three stories? And I thought, that'll do it.
I was like, wow, this is hard.
But I know that's not how we're supposed to do it. I know that's not the way.
So if there is a trick, it would be nice to know that, because I thought, how do people do this without killing themselves?
Phone lines are lighting up.
Are they? Let's put them on the phone, because I think this would be helpful to a lot of people.
Okay, this is Anna.
It's people who don't know Google or a cookbook or anything like that.
Anna, hi, honey.
Hi. So I'm 5'3". I'm teeny tiny, and I would have to, jab a knife and rock my body on it.
Yes.
I looked on Pinterest because I'm like, there's got to be an easier way. You just take your big butcher knife and, stab it in, the bottom of your squash.
Okay.
And then you cook it like that, and that lets the steam escape. And then you can cut it after you're done cooking.
Oh.
You cook it with the knife in it?
No, you stab it like a baked potato.
Oh, I see.
In the bottom, yeah.
In the bottom. Okay. Oh. Okay, stab.
Listen to me. So you cook it with the knife.
Lori's like, it would melt. I think it would melt. Okay,
oh my gosh.
Stab in the bottom.
Stab it in the bottom.
Oh.
Stab it out of context.
Like the bottom center. Like the bottom spot.
And then you cook it.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And then you can cut it down the middle and do whatever you need to the innards.
Okay, right.
And how long do you cook it and at what temperatures?
Because I thought I needed to take the seeds out first.
No. Oh, I don't know. That's how I did it. That was a hack I always did.
All right. Now, what is your name again, Anna?
Anna. Princess Anna.
Oh, Princess Anna. Hi, honey.
Hi.
All right. We're going to take one more call then to see if they have a different hack for this. But that is because, Lori, there's seeds in it. So if you don't take them out ahead of time.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, you bake it and then you scoop it out.
I guess. Okay, Rocco, do we have someone else?
We do. We've actually got three people, but let's start with Ruby. She was next.
Okay, Ruby.
Don't take your love to town.
Ruby.
Hello.
Hi.
I make squash quite often.
Okay.
I microwave it for about, I do stab it to let some air escape. I microwave it for about 10 minutes or so because they're so dang hard.
All right.
And then they get soft. Then you can cut it open, you can clean it out, and then you bake it in your oven, or you can finish cooking it in the microwave.
Okay, so you can microwave it. Ava, like the princess, she just learned the stabbing the bottom, but I like the idea because I want the seeds out.
But you got to microwave it. You got to get it soft.
Then it's soft, then you can do whatever you want. You can cut it into slices, you can do fancy things with it.
Oh, fancy.
Because some people like to cook cinnamon or cumin.
Right, my mom used to do that.
Yeah, and that way you get to bake it with the flavor in.
Okay, I like this. Well, thank you very much. I can't imagine that.
Squash hotline.
Should we take our last call to see if they have anything different to add on to this, Rocco?
Sure. Let's try Millie.
Okay, Millie.
I'm loving the names today.
I know, Millie. We've had great names. Millie, are you on the line still?
Yes, I'm here.
Millie the model. Do you remember that comic book?
No.
We worked with someone. That's another story.
Yeah, we'll Millie the model.
Okay, do you have any?
I've been listening to the tips, yeah.
Yes.
The thing about the stabbing, because, yeah, you can hurt yourself if you're going to stab it with a knife. I use, like, a metal skewer, like a kebab skewer.
Oh, okay.
Or a meat thermometer, like an old-fashioned one where it's just a poker. So then you don't really hurt yourself.
Okay,
and
good idea.
And then you stab it several times, microwave it, put the seeds in it, fine. I mean, that you're talking spaghetti squash.
Yeah.
You know, with the butternut, you can peel them first, you know, and then you cut them.
Lori,
and then you cut them in chunks.
That was what Lori used.
Oh, yeah. I did. I used a butternut squash. I couldn't figure that thing out. I just smashed it from three stories, and it did work. The soup was good.
Yeah.
But it was all over my deck.
Okay. I know it. This is really, all right. Thank you so much, Ava. I can't remember the middle one name. And Millie.
Anna, Ruby, and Millie.
Oh, Ruby, what beautiful names. Thank you, ladies.
Squash talk. We went from tennis to squash.
Yeah, that's right. See, this is my day. This is the joy. All right, so there are some things happening. I'm sure of it.
Well, Macaulay Culkin.
Culkin.
Please, that's so funny.
He came out with a mask that is his face as Kevin in Home Alone, the original, when he screams and he's,
complete with the fingers
on
his hands.
With the fingers on the side of the hands. That would be so funny for my kids.
It's hysterical.
It's a funny mask. It's the Home Alone mask.
See? And Macaulay is the one who let us know about this. Holly posted it on our show page, but it is kind of just like, it's disturbingly fabulous.
It really...
There's no other way to describe it because it's his old eyes on top of his 11-year-old face.
It really works really well for
And
him.
He just said, just staying COVID safe, wearing by the flayed skin of my younger self, don't forget to wear your mask, kid. So obviously he had that made for him. I don't know if they're for sale, but it's very funny.
It's very funny. Okay, if you're wondering what to be for Halloween, there's a lot of the dragging. I don't know what Halloween's parties we're going to go to, but if you want to dress, it could be an outdoor party. Now the sexy mail-in ballot Halloween costume will set you back $30. And it's just a skinny, skin-tight,
white. We are going as sexy hand sanitizers. You wear a white swimsuit, just a plastic apron.
Oh.
And you can just make your own hand sanitizer label for your bottom and your top.
Oh, there you go.
Or you can buy it for $69.95
on Yandy.
Well,
mine is so much cheaper. Yandy has the mail-in ballot costume for just $30. Well, you decide.
More like hand sanitizer.
I think the sexy hand sanitizer.
No, goodbye. All right, Ollie, what do you have with the traffic?
Oh.
Okay.
Who am I to disagree? I don't know the words, of course.
So good. This song is number one on iTunes.
I love it.
Thanks to our viral
TikTok
guy. I got trolled yesterday or scammed when someone tried to tell me that was a lady. And we're like, what? And Rocco looked it up. Nathan Apodaca.
So it wasn't a lady?
No. And
we
it was
didn't get
so
trolled.
Clearly.
There was a listener that told us.
Yeah. But anyway, Nathan has his viral TikTok skateboarding, listening to that song, drinking cranberry juice, has given Fleetwood Mac the number one song on iTunes, got the Ocean Spray new Chevy truck and a whole bunch of Ocean Spray
Love
for
it.
Life. And then Van Halen records, of course, are selling like crazy for a sad reason, the death of Eddie Van Halen. So the cover that everybody seems to be listening to is The Kinks, You Really Got Me. I think you played that, Rocco.
He did.
And then Jump, of course, is the number one seller.
Right.
All their albums are all over the album charts, but they take up a third of the top 100 Van Halen singles. And then Johnny Nash, of course, I can see clearly now. People have been
downloading
that.
I'm still
going to
do my little video for you guys.
Doing that. And then Bill Withers, I guess, has been a pretty steady seller really since he passed away.
Like early
spring. Lean on Me.
Yeah.
Because.
I do know.
And then Mac Davis and Helen Reddy, they had a little bump with their songs.
Okay, I worked with the two 12-year-olds last week,
and
Brittany.
They didn't know who Mac Davis and Helen Reddy were.
No, and I'm saying, but Rocco, you did a good job pretending. Better. Brittany had to Google.
Yeah. Well, Mac Helen Reddy?
I mean, I knew both of those guys, but
I
yeah.
know. Yeah. But I mean,
like I said, I always got Helen Reddy mixed up with Anne Murray.
I know.
Yes, that
completely
was an easy
different
thing
people.
To mix no. up.
Thank but you. Mac, the other two ladies said I was an idiot for saying that.
Oh, no, I could totally see how that would happen. Same era. They're both songbirds from Canada or whatever.
No, one's Australia. From Australia.
Well, same thing. All okay. under the monarchy.
Canada. Australia.
No, I know. You know. I know. Anyway, but Mac Davis.
Tomato, yeah. tomato.
But Mac.
Yes,
Mac
we talked Davis, about him and we talked about his Elvis stuff, Lori. We did yeah, it for you.
But he was requested in his song, Texas in the Rearview Mirror, which was never an anti-Texas song. It's about a boy from Lubbock, Texas who goes away. He did get buried in his hometown of Lubbock, Texas on Monday.
And he requested that to be played.
Well, in the song, and when I die, you can bury me in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh,
so that, right. that's where he's from, and so he was.
Imagine writing a song about that, and then having it.
Well, he was. That's where he was from. I mean, there's a street named after Mac Davis, but he lived like in Nashville.
He
was a cat in a hat.
He was. He had the Mac Davis variety show, and Helen Reddy had one too. Lori,
everybody
both of them.
Had a variety show.
Now
in the
everybody
60s
has a podcast.
It's the podcast.
Now it's the 2020s.
Right, Carlos Santana, his cannabis brand. Is out. It's ready to go.
Can't it's believe called, it's just coming out. Feels like he would have been on this.
Well, it seems like sometimes people are looking for the right partner. I mean, Snoop Dogg, we got Willie Nelson, we got Jim Belushi, Wu-Tang, of course, Bob Marley.
I wonder when they're going to make pot legal in Minnesota.
I don't know. They're going to have to introduce it and whatever. And they're busy doing nothing.
I just think the tax money would be helpful.
Do you? Of course. The mm-hmm. cannabis, it's
everyone goes
skyrocketing everywhere where it's being sold. But his brand is called Mirayo, and he wants us to know it is, quote unquote, this from his website, mm-hmm. a door to divine wisdom, Rocco, and a blessing worth sharing.
A door to divine wisdom, mm-hmm. like that. Okay.
He wanted.
Mom, I'm just trying to find the door to divine
right.
wisdom.
Right. But he said.
And this is a blessing.
He said that his mom used to take a chunk of marijuana, put in a jar with alcohol, let it sit there for hours and hours. And then when she'd pull it out, she'd rub it into her knees or her hands or her joints.
The CBD oil. She made
arthritis.
Her own.
Yeah.
I love that.
So. Anyway, Left Coast Ventures is, they work with a lot of other people. But he said that, you know, pot helped him master the guitar. He said, I was always tripping on stage with Eric Clapton or B.B. King. Remember the scandal when he divorced his wife of like 32 years?
Santana?
To marry the drummer? The woman who was drumming with him?
I don't remember.
Do you know that one, Rocco?
I don't know.
Are we talking about Carlos Santana?
Carlos Santana. Yes, the Santana shoes. I mean, I think he still makes the Santana shoes.
And they were...
Yes.
Are you getting him back with Garcia?
No, Julia. Carlos Santana had the shoe game.
I know he did. All right, fine. All right,
so if you go into one of these stores, you know, in California or
wherever
Seattle,
it's legal,
do they have like a little Carlos Santana section? This is the
Willie Nelson section. To ask for it by name, which is why he's doing some publicity, you know, just letting us know. But if you could go in to a store, I was just happened to be in California last week.
How convenient.
Yeah, no stores were open. Any looky-looing had to be done online.
But a lot of those places do deliver, delivery, right? Too.
No, you just order it and you drive up.
Yeah, you can drive up and get it or whatever. But they're not; they weren't open in California.
But I do know that it does help with arthritis.
And I got my mom some CBD stuff.
It does help
for her arthritic.
Mm-hmm. And Jane Fonda's got a brand of CBD oils.
Yes,
everyone's got all this stuff.
Somebody else just told me about Martha Stewart.
Yes, she came out with her own line of weed. Last fall.
Yes.
The spring.
And people are loving it for the sleeping benefits. She's gone all in on indica.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Did you by any chance yesterday read Mariah Carey's whole interview with The Guardian? Her interview?
Lori, look at me. No. Read my lips.
No.
No.
She was so Mariah. I
love that.
I love
her.
Here's what she said. I mean, she's just hysterical with her answer. She really doesn't give an F.
Right.
The Guardian asked her about lockdown. And she said, and people, I know two people who are reading the book and loving it.
Oh,
the Mariah book. They just said it's readable and it's
Brittany's
enjoyable.
Halfway through it. She was almost done with it.
Yeah. So she loves lockdown. She told The Guardian, honestly, I don't miss anyone outside, so I don't care about lockdown. But it's difficult for the kids because they're used to like three times a year Disney World moments and stuff like that. And that's just not our current state of affairs.
Well,
so she doesn't mind it. And then she said, I'm doing press for the book. She loves it. She loves being in her house doing Zoom with her own life. Wow. She's going to be on Watch What Happens Live tomorrow.
Tonight.
And Andy will have to give up his chair for her.
Yep.
The Guardian asked her about Jennifer Lopez because she's not in the book. Of course, why would she be?
Yes.
Because 20 years ago, Mariah famously said, I don't know her when she's asked about J-Lo. But her name, the reason why is... You know, it all started with this band, Loverboy.
You talked it so many times.
Okay, so she said, the Guardian said, so is your official stance on Jennifer Lopez that you don't know her? You've never heard of her? There's a pause. She laughed and she said, oh my gosh, can you hear the music in the background? It's Sam Cooke. It's fantastic. So she doesn't even answer it.
But Rocco knows about this, and he knows a lot about this, and he said there's really no reason she should have a beef because Mariah, J-Lo's music company had her do it.
Yeah, I know.
Mariah's just holding on to this.
And I kind of love it. I love it for her also.
So how many enemies do you have? Remember we answered the question
yesterday?
Many,
and who cares? And whether she minds being called a diva, she said, no, who the bleep cares? Honestly, oh my gosh, they're calling me a diva. I think I'm going to cry. You think the grand scheme of things in my life that really matters to me being called a diva? Please, I am, bitches. That's right.
Oh, my
word. We need divas.
100%.
And this is the interview where she said, if I was in a relationship, it mattered. It's in the book. If it didn't, it didn't occur. And the Guardian said, well, but you were engaged to James Packer. And she said, well, we didn't have a physical relationship, to be honest with you.
How could you?
Oh, my God. That is like a...
Even with a billionaire, he was so fugly. I couldn't... That money, sometimes power and
but
money.
But Julia, I mean.
She's got power.
I guess.
I mean, like me from afar, darling.
Mm.
Put a ring on it and I'll think about it.
Jeez.
I kind of like her power.
I know. I really love it. Uh-huh. And then also about whether she considers herself high maintenance. She said, you know what? I don't give a bleep. I am bleeping high maintenance because I deserve to be at this point. That may sound arrogant, but I hope you frame it within the context of coming from nothing. If I can't be high maintenance after working my ass off my entire life, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we all had to be low maintenance. Hell no. I was always high maintenance. It's just that I didn't have to do the maintenance when I didn't have any way to do the maintenance when I was growing up.
All right, there we go. You heard it here.
I love all of those answers. Mariah is living her best life. She might not be acknowledging the bleep at 50s, but her attitude is firmly 50.
She might be in her. She still is dating Tedeschian or whoever.
Oh, Brian Tanaka.
Yeah, he's 35.
He's well. There you go. And you know what? He's been around her kids, so he maybe doesn't care. And he's friends with David Foster, and he realizes he can have a baby when he's 70.
Exactly. He doesn't need his own. He doesn't need his own right now. There we go. What day is it?
It is Thursday.
All right.
So tomorrow is the long-awaited Friday. It's the long-awaited day, the day we've been looking forward to since
Monday.
Yes. Not going to lie. It's finally here. I heard Jason say it on his... TV show on Tuesday, he goes, it's only Tuesday, so that means there's a lot of the week left.
And I think most people feel this way.
Because it's the same. Everything is the same. It's time soup.
Yeah.
It really, there's not like the markers.
This is a universal feeling.
It's a universal feeling for everybody. It's just like, oh boy.
This weekend I get to look forward to.
I don't know. Are you going leaf peeping? Anyone going leaf peeping this weekend?
What is leaf peeping? Well,
you know, go and look at fall colors.
They've been beautiful. I wonder what's going to be left. I feel like they're done up north.
This would be the weekend to go leaf peeping on a possible date with
Rocco's
somebody with
going
the windows
to an apple
the orchard that we learned about. Yeah.
Yes. the special orchard.
Sweetland. They have hard cider.
And they pack and a fancy picnic cheeses. Basket.
Picnic. She says it like Yogi Bear.
I did.
Hey, want a picnic?
Hey Yogi.
I want a picnic.
I need a picnic basket. Take me to the library. I want biscotti. Come on.
I'll do the thinning around here, Bubba Louie. Cartoon hour.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Listen, when we come back, we're going to Hollywood speak.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood. Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
What is it, Lori?
What? Julia.
Oh, boy. Dear.
Okay, so, Christopher McQuarrie, who's the director of Mission Impossible, he works with Tom Cruise a lot. They're working on Mission Impossible 7, and he was giving an interview and was asked to describe, you know, Tom's co-star, because they've been filming, like, he was spotted on like a train in Norway.
Yep.
Now they're in Italy, and we don't know much about, because he never has the same co-star. You notice that?
Yes.
The woman always changes out. Anyway, Chris McQuarrie described Haley Atwell, who's going to be with Tom Cruise. He said, what we discovered is Haley had specifically an energy with Tom. Mm. It's not a vibe. It's literally a vibration.
Oh, for crying out loud. What? I got to love it, though.
Because he's a director in Hollywood, and he knows if he says crap like this, okay, it's show business, and people are going to start writing headlines.
Okay, yeah. So I try to Google Haley Atwell.
Yeah.
Hello Artwell comes up.
Oh, yeah. No, Haley Atwell.
In a Bible discussion thread. I really can't spell.
I mean, that is the strange.
It's a vibration between. Did Tom Cruise say this?
No, Christopher McQuarrie.
Oh, he's brought. He's drank the soup.
Because he said, for Haley to exist in a franchise where other women have been, we had to write a scene, imagine a spark of the character. And that's what Haley came in. When she came in, it was an energy. It's not a vibe. It was literally a vibration.
Wow.
That so is Star Magazine next week will have these two having a romance.
Absolutely.
Just based on that director's
and
comment.
Tom Cruise is 58 and she's what, 21?
Yeah, she might be late 20s.
All right.
You know, but I mean, he is a secretive guy, but he's not sad when there are sad stories about his virility.
No, not
and all
at all.
That kind of stuff.
And if you can cause, just by meeting someone, if you can cause a vibration.
Vibration?
Whoa.
There was literally a vibration.
That is something special.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean,
have you ever been around someone and you were vibrating?
Yes.
I've been around a vibrator that vibrates, but I'm saying a person that made you vibrate.
Well, I mean,
sexually, yes.
Yes.
I understand the sexual connotation.
But a vibration.
But just standing next to someone and acting.
The time that cop accidentally tased me in the bedroom, that might have been.
Can that happen?
No.
Lori likes to get tased.
Yeah, sometimes I pay off my parking tickets another way.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Mr. Pete. Probably so on PC to even say that these days, but I liked it.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Richie Sambora. There's a new interview in People magazine. Apparently, not only were Richie's friends offended by Jon Bon Jovi saying that Richie left the band because he couldn't get it together, they were able to get People magazine to cover the story. And the insider,
there's
not
Bon
Richie,
Jovi feet play pushback.
Richie sacrificed a lot to be there with his daughter when she was very young and needed him the most. And that's the personal reasons.
Yeah, she was like, when it all happened, she was like 15 years old. And Heather Locklear, the mom of
was
Ava,
having her first.
Not her first. She was having her one of many.
Right, but I mean, now the daughter is like 23.
Right.
I'm just saying that maybe it was like 8 years ago or something around that time that Heather.
He had to go home and parent.
Yeah.
Because the mom was N.A.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't wish that Richie had his life together and was still in the band. That's the thing that's sticking in everybody's crotch.
That would stick in my crotch if you said it.
We know John's a petty bitch.
I don't know crotch.
I think it's craw, right?
Oh, craw.
What did you call it?
Crotch.
Crotch. I think I like that it's stuck in your crotch.
Where the vibrations are.
Where the vibrations are.
If we were on Tom Cruise.
Right.
Jeez.
So they're hitting it back. He has no regrets.
Did I take medication today?
Yeah, I don't know. But John has zero regrets.
Oh.
I love that the boy beef continues.
It's a good one.
Even though they've not taken one lesson from Van Halen, these Bon Jovi boys in the band.
It's too soon.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tyrus Banks.
Okay, this
was livid about the Dancing with the Star error that made her look like a fool. Tyrus suspects someone is trying to sabotage her because in 15 years that had never happened on Dancing with the Stars. What say you?
Well, I would think I'm saying that would make me furious if that happened to me, that someone put the wrong cue card up. I mean, it wasn't on her. She read what was in front of her on the teleprompter. It was on the people. Julia, I would be furious.
But do you think there's any truth to the idea that that
sabotage?
Sabotage because Tyra can't ad-lib her way through.
Doesn't matter. They put the wrong thing up there, even though everyone says she should have recognized there were three couples instead of two couples on the floor. I'm just going to say in that moment, all the energy, the end of the show, you've got like 3 seconds to wrap it all up. I would be mad. I'm kind of on Team Tyra a little bit. I really think her fashion people, I hate her. But I'm going to tell you something else today. So I didn't remember. Did you guys see the movie Coyote Ugly?
Oh, yes.
With Maria Bello and Paraboo.
Tyra was the producer.
No, Tyra was in
it.
She was not.
I think she was a producer. No, I thought she was a producer.
No, she was not a producer.
All right. I thought it was one of the first things she produced.
But she, all right, if she did, it's not here because she talks about trying out for Coyote Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So she was talking with Maria Bello about doing either a TV show Coyote Ugly or redoing Coyote Ugly 2. And she said... she talked about how she landed the job in the first place, how she aced her audition. For her audition for Coyote Ugly, they asked me what song I wanted to play because they had to dance to a song because they were dancing on top of the bars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'll take Prince's Kiss. They push play. I'm in this huge hotel room. All these casting people lined up looking at me, and I'm dancing and I'm head whipping.
That's a good song to dance
I know. Oh, I remember dancing with that. At the Wild Onion. The whole song ended up dance. It was song ended and I'm still dancing. Then after I'm out of breath and they all just started laughing. And they're like, we're so sorry, but we were enjoying that so much. We kept the music going just for her. So she got the job.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But they're talking, it made $113 million.
Oh, that movie. And then that bar. I mean, yes. I left a bar. I left a bra at that bar.
You in New York?
In New York, yeah.
Uh-huh. Was the bar name Coyote Ugly?
Yeah.
Remember leaving? I never did that.
You never left a bra behind?
No, I didn't.
The best was my sister.
I needed it too much. Yeah. I rely on my bras. They weren't something I could leave behind. Mine are working bras.
Yeah, I know. My sister had a working bra. She's got big boobs. And she took off her bra at a G.B. Layton concert at Fitker's Inn.
No.
Down in the basement when they have it. And she slingshotted it up there. And it like landed on his guitar thing. It was so funny. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure she flashed him.
Of course.
She flashed everybody.
Well, when you take off your bra, what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah, because she had a button-down shirt. And I just was like so happy for her because I knew she'd been wanting to do it for years. And I think she was leaving. I think she was leaving town. So... perfect timing.
Another
or not.
Bartlett's sister. Or maybe getting
divorced. Maybe getting divorced. That might have been it.
That might have been it.
In between husbands, you know, you get a little wild.
Okay, is Bracco still here?
This is good stuff.
Hey, by the way, Ellen, what do you Hollywood speak about this? Ellen's Game of Games down 30%. So her talk show's down 38%. Now her Game of Games is down 30%.
Well, I saw that on the old TV last night, and I thought, I don't want to watch people play games right now, though. I really don't.
And they're kind of the mean games.
Yeah, I kind of don't. Yeah. You know, I want to hear what the traffic is doing.
Anyway, so her woes extend beyond daytime. I just got to say, Portia, keep riding the horses and playing with the doggies and going on. She's got to stay out of her mood. She's probably so happy she takes the car into the Burbank every day.
She's gone.
She's gone.
Well, I'm saying, you know, if you're around someone that much, you might want them to go to work. Probably a lot of people feel like that right
Casey
now.
I look at Casey every day, and I'm like, why don't you go do something? Right? No, he's just always
there. Get out of
there.
My house. You're always here.
He's always there.
We'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia, My Tech 107.1.